Welcome back to Farm Talk here. We're here at Peterson Farm Seeds, just northwest of Fargo in Prosper, North Dakota. And we are at a drone day for the media. And a real progressive farmer from around the Jamestown, North Dakota area, Jeremy Wilson. You are deep into drones. How long have you been using drones on the farm?
Well, we've had one on the farm for just about a year, and we've been collecting a lot of data ever since we brought it in. You know, we're looking for ways to use it to make decisions, to make, hopefully to apply less fertilizer or put it where we need it.
Yeah, and make more profit on the farm, right?
Well, that's got to be used to pay for the drone, yes.
Yeah. Now, up until just a few months ago, drones were, thought they were going to be the next answer. It was going to be just, the greatest thing since sliced bread. But it really became a toy up until just recently, didn't it?
Yeah, they're a pretty fun toy, but that wears off. When you really need to collect a lot of data, there's a lot of repetitive. It's still pretty fun, and you can get some great photos. They have really good cameras on them. Mm-hmm. But we use a service called Drone Deploy, and we're collecting data to look for differences. We create a difference in the field, and then we see if we can find it. And if we can, that should tell us we have a situation where we can make an application if there's time yet. To make a difference in our end result in our corn crop.
Yeah, a lot of your fields, like the pictures you've shown, a lot of you have created test strips, and you've created a lot of variety out there, more than in the typical field.
Yeah, we try. We're a little bit spread out in the Jamestown area, so each field of corn we grow, we'll have a little extra fertilizer on either 40 or 100 feet wide strip, and then we'll also have a 20 foot wide strip out there with little to none. So with that. With that, we typically would go on foot, and we still do because we have to ground verify everything we see. But if we can take the drone data and run it through this computer software, there's a chance that if the corn does show that it wants some more fertilizer and then it'll be profitable, that we can, rather than doing a blanket application of a single rate, we'll have a chance to see what the differences are on that day, mm-hmm. Or the previous day, and then we can quickly alter our application rates through a variable rate prescription.
Yeah. Now you mentioned that you're feeding your crop numerous times during the growing season.
Yes, we try to split apply our nitrogen, and then we're always ready to add some sulfur too. We have our soils on a build program. We're trying to increase the health of our soil. Mm-hmm. So that takes ingredients.
What type of things are you doing to increase the health of your soil?
Oh, Mick, I think that could take a couple hours to discuss. But we have transitioned to 100% no-till, and we completed that in 2001. But we've learned a lot since then, and we've learned that that living plant out in the field, that soil is important. So we identified fallow periods where there's not something growing, and we've tried to find and tailor a cover crop program to complement our cropping program. So we've transitioned now where we're actually looking at doing interseeding of our cover crops into our growing crop, mm-hmm. So we can have more of a relay effect with who's in control of the soil, from our crop, using the soil to grow to our cover crop. We're trying to get that down to zero or overlapping.
Now, is the purpose to add organic matter to the soil, or are you increasing the nutrient value of the soil?
Well, it's going to be both. Mm-hmm. With more organic matter level, you get more holding capacity, number one, for rain, for water. Mm-hmm. So we can take more when it comes, before it runs off, and then we can store it longer, and we can actually use it more efficiently. So that's real important for our area, because a lot of times we dry out come the end of July, mm-hmm. and through August, and sometimes September as well. Yeah. And, sometimes we can have multi-year droughts.
Right.
It's pretty easy to pull out the 1988 number. And I think most farmers know what you're talking about.
Yeah, and we had a lot of guys who were kind of scared. That's where we're headed this year. But, boy, has this been a million/billion-dollar rain for you recently?
Yeah, we've gotten, our Stutzman County has, I think, been blanketed with around an inch recently. And I think that's going to really help keep the incomes up in our area.
Yeah.
There are some crops that are really starting to look pretty sad. Not dead yet, but they're heading that way. So west of us, not very far, I hope to get some more rain yet. But there's been some rains coming through, but we're pretty dry up here.
Yeah.
So We just did get some nice rain at our farm, and you know we're still expecting a normal crop at this point with this extra rain now. But you know, as far as forecasting goes, you know, keep it coming.
Yeah. All right. Well, I'll put it in the forecast as often as I can, Jeremy. So you are not in the Red River Valley. You're not in the rangeland of central and western North Dakota, kind of in that Highway 281 corridor. So back to cover crops. What does work best for you in corn?
Well, we're trying a few different things into corn. It's the corn actually takes up, you know, the beginning of our cropping season and the end. So it's hard to tailor a cover crop for our corn. Last fall, with an early corn harvest, and you know, a late summer or you know winter didn't really show up for quite a few extra weeks.
Yeah,
and we had heat units too. So we actually seeded cereal rye into all of our corn stalks after harvest. You know, that's maybe a 1 or 2 years out of 10 opportunity, and we would like to have more diversity in our fields every year. So we're looking at this year of interseeding a couple species of crops in between our corn rows, about the you know V7 to V8 corn stage. We're going to try a few different varieties. You know, the book hasn't been written on that. There's a lot of information, but to put something together that won't you know that could complement our yield or not affect it negatively, you know, that's going to be our challenge and our learning process going forward. Mm-hmm. So we'll kind of get into it slowly, but we're looking at you know species that of course can be allowed with our chemical program, and we've altered that a little bit to allow for a little more room for cover crops. And we're looking at, you know, the type of crops that will really spur soil health, ones that can are highly mycorrhizal, so they let the VAM fungi infect,
right.
and help to build the soils. Right. So, like I said, we're on a build program. We're gonna try to like that. We're gonna try to seed crops that are strong builders. Diversity is a key in building soils. So one thing that we need to have is a multi-species. You know, you want 8 to 12 species out there if you're going to do a good job of building. One thing that has worked for us well is seeding soybeans into cereal rye. That seems like a pretty good deal. It doesn't look like much to begin with, and you kind of always wonder. But come mid and late summer, you know, the soybeans don't seem to mind, and we usually have a fairly nice soybean crop.
Terminating cover crops, so is that there a learning curve to that too?
Yes, early, late, you know, there's a lot of opportunity for the weather to tell you that your plan is no good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, you know, we try a few different things, but sometimes you end up, you know, doing what you don't expect. Mm-hmm. And with the soybeans, they don't seem to be too upset as far as timing goes. We have quite a few strips this year out of early termination. And through seeding and then after seeding on a very small trial basis. So the early seeding or the early termination, the cereal rye residue was about waist high, and mm-hmm. and when we killed that about 2 to 3 weeks before planting on two different strips, that material is just about gone already. So our soils are quite alive, and they've chewed up that residue much faster than I expected.
Wow, interesting. All right, well, a lot of light bulbs just went off in guys' heads out there using more cereal rye, even in soybeans. How many times will you use a drone during the course of the year?
Oh.
On a piece of land, one piece of land.
The cornfields will probably get flown, you know, I'm expecting 3 to 4 times this year or more, mm-hmm. but we'll see. If you really have a difference you want to collect the data on, and you fly it, and your images are speckled with clouds, we delete those photos out, and then if it comes back, not enough photos, or you get a hole in your data, well, then you have to throw the whole thing away, or you can't maybe use it for as much as you like. So we're collecting a lot of data.
Yeah, and like you said, you filled up a few hard drives, and so are you going for and high-speed internet? Is that vital, or can you do it kind of in-house?
We have fiber optic running to the farm now. We received that about a year and a half ago, and that's helped us turn the speeds up. Of course, the higher speed is quite expensive, and with fiber optics, they allow us to choose our plan. So mm-hmm. I run pretty low throughout the year, but this June, July, August time period, we've got it turned up.
Okay.
So our upload speeds standard were 2. And we turned it up last year to 7, and that changed it from being a 12 to 15 hour upload of one field it changed it down to like a 6 hour, 4 to 6 hour time period. Well, this year I went, they offered a little higher plan, and I went with that. And I just did my first one yesterday, and it took just about 4 minutes.
Well, to upload 5-6 gig or what?
Much more than that.
Maybe 100 or so gig.
I don't remember the size, but it's those. If you have 800 photos going up, and they're each 4 megabyte, you end up with a lot of data.
Yeah. Oh, and all up in 4 minutes. Excellent. All right. Jeremy Wilson, Jamestown, North Dakota, using drones. You ever 5 years ago? Did you think you'd be doing this today?
Nope. We were looking at satellite imagery, and we're excited about every advancement and how we could, you know, if it gets enough resolution where we could have actionable data quick enough. But again, clouds, you know, taking pictures from above the clouds there. Of course, they affect you much more. The drones are below the clouds, but then the clouds cast shadows.
Right.
So they'd have some, Nolan Berg here at Peterson Farm Seed, he showed us a drone today that has the light sensor on top.
Right.
So it can compensate for differences in light.
Yeah.
So if you just a difference in battery change from 12 o'clock, and you get off the phone with your seed supplier, your chemical supplier, and you fly a half an hour to an hour later, you're the rest of the field, you can have a result that's no good because of just the differences in light.
Yeah. Well, thanks for sharing, Jeremy. Jeremy Wilson, Jamestown, North Dakota farmer, heavy into drones, heavy into technology, and again, thanks for sharing.
Thanks, Mick.
You bet.